Hey everyone, I am really glad we get to meet together. And before I get into the message, let me mention two things real quickly to you. One is, this week we sent out a survey. What we want to do is gather as much data as we can to help us make wise decisions related to staging a reopening of our facility. So check your email. Some of you check your junk mail. If you didn't get the survey, let the host know. Email us at info@newhope.org. We'll get it to you. But the more surveys we get, the more information we get from you, the better off we'll be. So please don't put this off. It might take you 3 or 4 minutes to fill out the survey. It will do huge, huge things to help us in making decisions. Second thing is to stick around at the end of the message. We have a prayer and a song. And then at the very close, I want to give you a handful of things just to keep you in the loop of what's going on. You know, this is a different Memorial Weekend than we're used to. There are some places that are reopening and there are opportunities for people to go to the beach and other. But for the most part, with the physical distancing, things are very, very different. But please, don't let the things being different rob us of remembering what Memorial Day is about. And that is, we are celebrating and remembering those that gave their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, so you and I could have freedom, that you and I could have the kind of benefits that we enjoy in our country. So let's keep that in mind. Originally in this message, in diffusing conflict, which is the topic, I had a different direction I was going to go. I was going to use the Bible and help us look at some techniques that can help us in diffusing conflict. They're really valuable and important, but some things have happened that have caused me to rethink that. So I'm doing this in a different way. If you have questions as a result of the message today, things that it raises, you may disagree, you may just try to figure out how does this apply, let the host know. Or you can, again, email us at info@newhope.org. And then this coming Wednesday during our Dig In, where we spend 30 minutes at lunchtime on Wednesdays kind of talking about this on Facebook Live, the practical implications, I'll be glad to answer everything possible. May 27th of this year, we're going to have something very historic happens, and that will be a private company is going to send astronauts up into space for the first time ever. Elon Musk and his company SpaceX has been working on this for a good while, and it's going to be, if all goes according to plan, it'll be a very significant event. We've been relying on other countries to do the shuttling of our astronauts, and now we'll be able to handle that on our own. Along the way, there have been spectacular successes and failures with the SpaceX program. And recently, Elon Musk put out a compilation video that shows some of the spectacular failures. I want you to watch this and come back and we'll draw a couple points from it. So in the video, what you see is some things that you and I would call them disastrous failures, where things blow up. Elon Musk has an interesting definition for these things. What he, instead of saying that one of the reentry rockets blew up or one of them taking off blew up, he says this: it was a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. I have to give him a lot of credit for the positive spin, but there's something about this that is really compelling. His attitude toward what we would call failure, and they were failures, his attitude toward it is really a positive one you and I can adopt. And that is, as we approach conflicts, let's not allow ourselves to get derailed or defeated and quit, but to look at them as opportunities for us to learn and to grow and develop. No failure ever has to be final. But they can be if you and I quit and give up. Let's not do that. So as we're looking at the message this week, what I want to do is give you three things to hold on to. And again, I'm going to mention some things that you may not see on the screen, but they will be in the take-home sheet. So make sure to get that. First thing is that for you and I, conflict is inevitable. Anytime you have two or more people together, and sometimes it can just take one, and I won't get into that. That's another message. But in the best of our homes, our workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, communities, there's going to be conflict because people have differences that collide. In fact, they've done studies of marriage and people are attracted to someone very different than them. That's a good thing until you end up having these conflicts. And then you have to figure out, what do we do with that? How do we walk through this well? Second thing is, when you see the first sign of a conflict, don't fight, don't run, don't ignore, but pray. Prayer is our direct access to God. And what it does is it, instead of letting our emotions lead us, and especially if our emotions are running hot, we need to resist the urge to immediately react. And for you and I that are followers of Jesus, go to God, pray, and ask God for help. Third thing is that we have the Holy Spirit. Once I became a follower of Jesus, I now have God's Holy Spirit living in me. And as a result of that, I have everything I need. God has given me what I need to handle life, whatever comes my way. And again, there's going to be more of this on the take-home sheet, but this, I'm going to mention two things about what the Holy Spirit does. One is, he makes sure that my needs are taken care of. God will meet all of my needs. I do not have there, therefore, I don't have to force others to come through for me. I may want them to, and I may want to be close, and I may want them to live up to their responsibilities and all this, but ultimately, I'm not dependent on anybody else to be a whole person. The second thing is, not only does God care for me in this, but by His Holy Spirit, I now have the capacity to treat others the way God wants me to. I have the ability to handle and navigate conflict in a way that where I can choose to honor God in the process, love people as I go along, and I don't have to operate as a victim. We looked at this last week. So these three things. Conflict is inevitable. The very first thing I should do at the sign of conflict or potential conflict is pray. And the third thing is God has promised by His Holy Spirit to give me everything I need. He will care for me personally, and He'll give me the capacity to handle conflict well. So this is what I'd like to do. Rather than techniques, what I want to do is give, in the next few minutes, a guide for us as we're approaching conflict when it happens. And this is a matter of really of perspective. And here's the thing about perspective. Wise perspective will prep me to make wise choices and to have wise practices. So perspective leads to practices. If I'm not careful, what I'll do is I'll just go through a few steps and then I'll lose my energy or my effort, or I'll get discouraged, and my loss of perspective causes me to lose the ability to walk through the conflict well. So here's the perspective statement I want to make. I'm going to give it to you in three parts. The first is, define the win. What is the win that you're looking for when there's a conflict? It's important to understand this. A lot of times we get into a conflict, we get into a disagreement or argument, and I just want my own way. And so I'm going to do whatever I can to win to get my way. It may be I just want to show I'm right. I catch myself and I'm just going to prove I'm right no matter what. It may be I want to make others pay. I'm sick and tired of taking it. I'm not going to take it anymore. You'll pay. It may be that I just, in the midst of a conflict, my win, what I really want to do is I want to prove that I'm strong, important, or smart. Defining the win is crucial. If I don't have that in mind, it's going to dislodge me. And I need to be careful, too, that my initial go-to, it could be way off. In our Bible reading plan this week, we went through James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And what it says is this idea of wanting to win leads to all kind of conflict and fighting and quarreling. It leads to all kind of pain and suffering. So what I need to do is figure out, and here's Becky's picture this week. In honor, I guess part of this is on for SpaceX and Elon Musk. That's Elon. He's just happy, although I don't think he's actually going to be one of the astronauts. He does want to go to Mars, though. Anyway, that's a separate story. Here's the picture. In conflict, let's take this back to conflict, is you got some people that love conflict because their idea, they're going to win. And they don't care what it takes. Some of us, we are loaded and we're ready when conflict happens. And inevitably, they're the people here that pay the price. They're not the winners. In fact, we look at a conflict as they're going to be winners and losers. And what I want to suggest is that that's not really the way God wants you and I to operate. He doesn't want us to look at it as winners and losers. He wants us to define how we go about it in a very different way. So the first thing is define the win. What is the win? And here is how I'm going to approach it. And this is what I've been adopting recently. And that is define the win by imitating Jesus. We're going to look at a little bit this in a minute, a little bit more of it. But Jesus, those of us that have accepted him as our Savior and Lord, we now are called to follow him. His favorite term, he didn't use the term Christian, he used followers. And so we follow his example. We follow the model that he set for you and me. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, this is stupid. It's whacked out. It doesn't make any sense. I'll get walked all over. If I in conflict, if I start imitating Jesus, then man, this is not going to work at all. You don't know what my workplace or my home or my neighborhood's like. I may not, but Jesus does. And he's called us to follow him, to adopt his ways. And you and I have the privilege and responsibility of representing him everywhere we go. And in the midst of conflict, that is one of the places that we can stand out in a very, very sharp and strong way. Let me give you an example. For Mother's Day, I ordered Becky a fire pit. I really thought that would be a great thing to do. And she's talked about, she loves sitting outside and feeding mosquitoes. No, she loves sitting outside in the summertime. And so I decided I'd find one. I did a lot of research. One of the big box stores, I won't give you their name, had a good deal and it was the right color and all this kind of stuff. So because they didn't have it at a local store, I called their number, talked to a rep in person, and they promised me, yes, we can get this for you. We will get it to you. It'll be at a local store. You can pick it up on May 12th. All that was confirmed. I got an email showing me that. And understandably, there are a lot of difficulties and delays and things being shipped. So I was patient. So I didn't call them on May 12th. I waited, didn't hear anything. So on May 14th, I call the store. I don't get anybody there. So I finally call the national number again. I get another rep after a very long wait on the phone. And I'm assured they'll get to the bottom of this. They come back to me multiple times. Finally, they've talked to someone at the store. Oh, yes, we're going to have this taken care of. You know, this is the 14th of May that I've called. They promised me two things. It will be in the store ready for me to pick it up on the 19th. And on the 15th, I would be getting a call from the store manager to assure me everything's good and to maybe apologize for the inconvenience and the miscommunication. Well, I didn't hear anything on the 19th. I tried to contact them on the 20th, and I just ran into too many things I had to do. So on the 21st, I get on the phone, and after a 45-minute wait, I finally get a rep. At this point, I'm irritated. But as I had that long wait, I started thinking about this and about conflict and what my role is and how do I imitate Jesus in this? And so this is what I did. I got on the phone. A girl named Chastity answered the phone, and I said something like that. And by the way, Becky is observing all this because I've been using this upstairs room as my office. And I just said, Chastity, I am really frustrated by the way I've been treated. It's not your fault. This is the first time you and I have talked, but I just want you to know the way the company has treated me is not making me a fan, and I am really struggling with it. I'm asking if you would help me navigate this. It diffused any tension that might have been there. Chastity knew I wasn't mad at her. She could tell in my voice I was irritated, but not at her, because I clarified that. And then she didn't get defensive and all this, and so we spent another probably half hour on the phone. I come to find out, as she's exploring it, that along the way, someone just canceled my order. And she goes, well, didn't they tell you that? No. And gratefully, I didn't lose my cool, but Chastity and I became friends. She walked through it and really helped me. But in the midst of what was, I was pretty frustrated. But thinking about this, I wonder how Jesus would have handled this. First of all, I don't know that Jesus would have bought a fire pit. That's another message for another time. But I do know that he wouldn't have yelled at Chastity. He wouldn't have blasted her for something that others had done. And even then, when he had, if he was dealing with the people that had messed up, he would have handled it differently. You'll see that in just a minute. Next, this next point, as I'm looking at this perspective piece, is what has really changed things for me. So let me finish the whole statement. We'll take it apart. It says this: define the win when you're in a conflict by imitating Jesus, specifically by remembering how he has treated you and me. Define the win by imitating Jesus, specifically by remembering how he has treated you and me. This is counterintuitive. It goes against so many things that we strongly feel, our sense of fairness, our sense of justice. But if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and leader, we are called to live differently. We're citizens of his kingdom, and he has a different standard that he wants us to operate with. We have different values and priorities than we did before, and they stand many times in stark contrast to our culture. Conflict, when you and I enter into it, is an opportunity to show our love for God as a response for how much he has loved us. It's a way for us to show our love for others, modeling what he has done for us. Jesus is our mentor, no matter what the circumstances we're in. So I want to walk through a few ways, reminders of how he has treated those of us that know him. We get this, but it's something we need to remember, because if we're not careful, we have a very fuzzy memory of what we've been like, how we've been treated, and we jump on our high horse in treating others in a way that does not honor God at all. So I want you to follow with me, and I want you to think about this in terms of your own circumstances. There may be conflict you're dealing with or approaching at home, at work, in your neighborhood. It could be even thinking nationally. But how has Jesus treated you and me? And this is critical. And if you're not a follower of Christ, what you're going to hear in this is just how much Jesus loves you and me, and how deliberate he has been in trying to help us come to that point of accepting him as our Savior and leader. If you've not accepted him, I hope you will consider it, and we would love to talk with you about it. You can just text us the word trust at 703-971-4673, or the host will show you this, but Anyway, this is how Jesus has treated those that have accepted him and what he offers all of us. First of all, he has our best interest in mind. Always. Even, well, you'll see this in a minute. Listen to this, John 3:16 and 17, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So he doesn't want us to be separated from him. He wants us to have this brand new life that is both now and forever. It says, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There are implications here for you and I when we get in these conflicts and arguments and disagreements with other people. Is our goal is not to be judging others and their motives and their intents. We may have to address those, of course, but our goal, if we're going to follow Jesus, is to figure out how we can handle them and treat them well. Remember, we've been given God's Holy Spirit. The moment you and I accept him, we now have his Holy Spirit living in us that gives us the capacity to live in a very different way. On our own strength, of course, we're not going to be able to do this, but in his strength, with his power and his presence, we can. And the issue now is, am I willing to exercise and make good choices based on this resource that God's given me through his Spirit? It can be really hard. But you know what? Jesus did for us what we desperately needed. And he's now given us the capacity to love others too, even when they're not very lovable. And to make it our goal that whatever I'm doing, wherever I am with people, I'm going to put their best interests in my mind. That doesn't mean I'm always going to cave into them. It means that I'm going to think about what is the most loving thing I can do here. And I'm going to pursue that with God's help. So Jesus always has my best interest in mind. Listen to this. He has loved me even at my worst. He goes on to say, this is what we're reading in Colossians. Paul writes, it goes, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated him by your evil thoughts and action. Listen to this. You and I, at one point, before we accepted Christ, were enemies of God because we were not following him. In many ways, we endorse things that were direct opposite of holiness and righteousness and truth. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Even while we were enemies and fighting against the things of God, God sent his son for us to sacrifice his life for us. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. God loved us when we were extremely unlovable. In fact, when we were enemies. And if we're not careful, you know what we end up doing the longer we're followers of Jesus is we minimize our sin. And then our tendency is to maximize the sin of others. What we need to do is remember in full relief all God did to save us. What it cost him, and how undeserving we were. Remember the word grace. We hear this a lot. It's not getting what I deserve, but getting what I need. You get in conflict and arguments and others, and remember, how has God treated me? He has given me grace. He has not treated me like I deserve, but he's treated me in the way I need help. That you and I adopt that. Here's another thing that about the way Jesus treats us that we need to adopt and understand so we can love others well. He has pursued me when I wasn't interested in him or what he had to say or offer. He's pursued me. He didn't just welcome it and say, well, one day if you ever get it, you come find me. He has pursued me. Think about this. We weren't interested in him. We had gone our own way. We wanted life on our own terms, and yet he didn't give up. He continued, relentlessly pursues. Luke 13:34, there's a picture of Jesus. He's looking out over Jerusalem, and he's remembering historically how the people had regularly, when they heard the truth and when the prophets and others came about and were telling them, you need to repent, you need to turn back to God, and they rejected that. Listen to what he said. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. But you wouldn't let me. He could have easily written Israel off. He could have written you and me off by saying, look, you don't get it. And I'm not gonna put up with it anymore. Instead, he pursues us. He's urging us. And he keeps the door open. There will be a time when history wraps up. We'll have no more choices. But until then, he is pursuing us. He has pursued us, and he wants us to get that and adopt that in our relationship with others. Another important piece to remember is he speaks the truth in love without sacrificing one for the other, even though it costs him. Jesus is not like some of the images that he's just a kind of a good guy and he's always just kind of saying things to make people feel good. That was not the way he was at all. He would speak the truth and he would speak it in love. He doesn't take the truth and use it as a club to beat us over the head with it, but he does tell us the truth. He also doesn't ignore sin in our lives and where we're in error just because he loves us and wants us to have good feelings toward him. Truth and love, he holds those two together. There's a great picture of this in the New Testament. Not too long before Jesus' ministry was to wrap up, he'd had these huge crowds, all kind of people following. When you can do miracles like healings, casting out demonic spirits, you can turn a small happy meal into food to feed thousands, you get a crowd. And he was very, very popular. You know, some of us will do anything to get a crowd. But there was a point where he was speaking to a large crowd in this one event. He calls them to follow him. He says, "This it's going to be sacrificial. It's going to cost you to follow me." And when he said that, these people that had shown up for the show, that they just wanted all the good things Jesus could do, the healing and food and all this kind of stuff. It said in John 6, it says, "At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him." They didn't want hard stuff. They wanted an easy, fun way to go. They thought this guy's going to ride in, they're going to politically make a statement, going to overthrow Rome, and then they'll have a great time, just heaven on earth. But they deserted him. Many of them did. Then Jesus, it says, turned to his 12 and said, "Are you also going to leave?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you're the Holy One of God." Jesus speaks the truth. And at times you and I are going to need to do that. And where we stand up for what is true and right and just. And it's going to make the conflict not better, but maybe worse. It's going to cause people to come against us. It's going to cause people to dislike us, to reject us. There are times that will happen. Jesus had that happen too. Make sure of this, though. When you're rejected, when you're persecuted, when you go through difficulty, make sure it's because you spoke the truth in love and not that you were a jerk. There is a world of difference here. Jesus is our model in this. And let me close with this one. Jesus keeps the door to reconciliation open. He doesn't close the door on you and me, even when we've blown it horribly. He doesn't wink at our sin. He doesn't ignore it. But he opens the door for us to truly repent and turn, and he will accept us. 1 John 1, it says, "If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we've not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts." God's not going to be fooled. We need to own it honorably and rightly and humbly. But when we do, he is ready to forgive, to restore, and to heal. Next week, we'll be looking more at this idea of forgiveness. But let me just say this. If you've not accepted Christ, I've just painted a picture of what he does for those of us that have, what he offers you if you would. I hope you'll seriously consider it. I hope you will join in with the rest of us in being amazed at Jesus and his love and his kindness and his mercy, and asking him to come in to help us become the people he wants us to be, to represent him well, so that we have this idea in our conflicts that it's not a matter of us winning. It's not a matter of us coming out on top. What it really is that we're going to define our wins in our relationships with others. by looking at and imitating Jesus and specifically remembering how he has treated you and me. I've asked Dave and Karina Rowenhorst if they would close us in prayer. Dave and Karina.
Hi, New Hope friends. Please pray with us. Dear God, we thank you for this message that we heard, Lord, and I ask that you would just imprint it on our hearts, Father. I ask that you would help us in the midst of our relationships to slow down and to make sure we're listening to each other, Lord. I know that conflict can be challenging to work through, and I ask that you would give us courage and that you would give us strength as we seek to make relationships right with each other, Lord. And we know that you value this so much, Lord, and that it's so important to you, and we ask that you would help us to remember that and to keep it a priority in our lives. And we thank you for your word and how it guides us, Lord. We ask that you would give us a desire to keep learning more about you and about the ways that you teach us to love each other. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we pray that you would remind us that it was you that we were first in conflict with, and that it's because of that we'd have conflict with each other. And I pray that you would just show us your will for how we should be treating others, and that we be reminded of the example that you gave us in Jesus, that he came to heal that conflict. He came to repair that conflict, and that he didn't do it through power. He didn't do it through force. He did it by serving and by showing your love to all of us. And I pray that you would just remind us how to reflect that love back to others, and that when we are in conflict with others, that we remember that that other person is loved by you, is cherished by you, and that we need to keep that in the front of our mind in all these things. We pray that you just remind us of that this week, this month, this year, and so that in all things that we are drawing closer to you, but also closer to others as well. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.